Hey everyone, it's Bad End Podcast, your favorite video game podcast, the internet's only irreverent video game podcast, the podcast with the greatest following of all time. Yeah, I'm patting the backs of everyone who listened to this show because you all are great. My name's Josh Calixto. I write for Kotaku.com.
I'm Katie McCarthy. I am an editor slash writer slash person at usgame.net.
And I am Kyle Cooksdale, extraordinaire of games and stuff. Mm-hmm. Although recently playing way less games for reasons I don't know. Although I was at PAX, which I guess is why I was on the last episode.
Yeah.
I mean,
was it fun? Did you have a good time at PAX?
Oh man, let's just start talking about PAX.
How was your PAX?
It was weird. It was like,
all right.
Have you guys been to PAX before?
I was at PAX West last year.
I have not.
Okay. It's weird. So it's not, I've never really been to a proper, like, real fan conference or, like, festival for games. I went to E3, like, three or four years ago now, but that was before they switched to the, like, expo thing. It was still kind of a trade show. So it was still, like, pretty low-key. But this was the first thing I'd gone to that was, like, this big and this scale. And just to see, like, I mean, it was cool. It's just a lot of people who are like really excited for video games. I went to like talk about my game with some like publishers and other stuff, but was also like, well, I'm here. Like I might as well go to the thing. So it's also weird because it feels like it's kind of like if you know about game stuff, like I get the sense, well, I'll talk about something else. But the first thing is that like, if you know about and follow games like a lot, you actually know that all of the big stuff gets announced at Gamescom. And so PAX is kind of like, hey, I know you heard about that thing in Europe, but we got it here too. So there's like, no one's like announcing stuff or doing stuff. It's much more like, you could tell it's like a 1-2 beat where people like announce stuff at Gamescom, have like a small presence and like really put a booth at PAX off of new announcements. So like a great example of this was, I think the Shovel Knight little mini stream thing happened around Gamescom time. And then at PAX, they had a whole booth set up with like all of their new games. So it was basically, and everyone there kind of had a similar vibe, which was like, you're there because you just announced something or you're like, you're doing something big soon. So you have a booth there. There's not like, I guess, I mean, there's kind of like perfunctory booths from like really big companies, but it's not, people don't go there to have a presence. Most people are there showing like, we have this thing that we're doing. So, other cool things were like, I got to play with the Playdate, the little yellow handheld thing. That was pretty cool. Untitled Goose Game was there, but the line was fucking long. Also, people just wait in lines for so long to play. The other thing crazy about PAX is that like a lot of the stuff people are showing is coming out very soon. But like you had people who are waiting in line for like 2 hours to play 20 minutes of Borderlands 3, which at that point was coming out in 2 weeks. And it's like, what?
Yeah, that's weird. Is that really? That's an E3 thing too. People just wait in line.
Yeah, people just,
and I'm like, this game's out. I mean, E3
might make more sense. Like, maybe because it's like they just announced it and it's like not coming out.
No, it's like not usually the case. Because they had like Judgment there, and Judgment was like out like that week. And I had reviewed it in its entirety. And that was like a weird thing. People like waiting to play Judgment. I'm like, you could just wait till like Friday, man. Like,
yeah, it's like you're,
but then you get to tell people, oh yeah, I was at PAX, I played Borderlands 3.
So this is the thing about PAX, is that like what I didn't totally realize is that there are PAX goers. Like there's this whole other side to PAX.
Fish fans.
No, it's more like the ICP following, like whatever they're called.
Juggalos.
Like the party or something. Are they called Juggalos?
Yeah, they're called Juggalos,
but like the group of them. It's like the gathering of the Juggalos.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's not only this floor of like games that you can play, and like there's also a board game section. There's like a whole like meta in the truest sense of PAX that like happens parallel to the whole conference. So like it starts as, it's like, it's basically, it's crafted to be this sort of like Disney World-esque experience for people who really like games. So the show floor is like only part of this, but like as soon as you get your badge, there's like a code to go online to like activate this sort of like ARG aspect to the festival where you can go around and find these like hidden dolls. It's like bank points. There's like these whole kind of like, they have rotating like verified pin distributors, like things that you pin to. So people who are really into collecting pins go to like find all these exclusive like pin drops and all this stuff. I have like the little guide here, and there's like just every single day there's like conferences and there's like panels, but the panels are very like gamer centric. It's not like, this is how we implemented subsurface scattering and skin and Destiny 3. It's like, we really love Mario. What's the best Mario game? And there's like 300 people will attend this panel to like yell at the people hosting it to like talk about how much they love Mario. And it's just like a lot of stuff like that. It's like, it's so much more of a like games culture festival. And like it's its own kind of game in its way. And there's like people there that are like, they're like PAX, like spirit guides. They're trying to like help people make the most of their thing. And so it's this big sampling.
Like a summer camp.
So,
like, dude,
it's kind of like a summer camp. Yeah. And like, it's just a ton of like nerds get together in Seattle and like fucking hang out and be nerds together, which is great. But it was also like crazy.
I feel like there'd be a lot of like king nerds there. You know what king nerd is?
Oh, I know a king nerd.
King, yeah. King nerd is like a thing that I came up with when I used to hang out at the board game store a lot. But I feel like a lot of people know what king nerd is, where it's like,
everyone's met a king nerd.
You know how people talk about like alphas and betas and shit like that? And in real life, it's like, you know, it's kind of bullshit. You know, alphas, what, who fuck, this shit's all bullshit. There's like, sure, there's some people who are like a little bit more leaders, a little bit more dominant, whatever, but the whole alpha comparing us to wolves and shit is not really true, except when you're among nerds, because they all have like, there was this one guy, you know, maybe two at the board game store, and they were like slightly cooler than all the other nerds, but still like very, very cooler. Outwardly geeky. And everyone was like, treated them like fucking royalty, where like when they walked
it's
in,
like it they
like,
hold court. Hey, like they really hold court. Here.
Yeah. And it's like this guy would come in, he wears like a pleather jacket. You know what I'm saying?
No.
His pants are slightly too big. But and like he would like put his like hands in his pocket awkwardly, where he's like kind of fumbling to get his hand in his pocket type thing. Except he had like a low rent Nathan Fillion look. And was like, could like talk good. So people were like, this guy is a fucking man right here. This is the dude. And I was like, he's like the king nerd. He's king nerd. And I feel like that this king is nerd is fucking everywhere. Like, and I would hate it, because like I would go in this store and I'm not even a nerd. I don't even get the nerd, you know, title. I don't get the honor because I look like, you know, I'm wearing Vans and like streetwear and shit.
Pass.
A normal guy.
I'm like, I just look like a normal dude or whatever. And so I could never.
For all they know, you just wandered in there. You thought the storefront looked nice. They don't even know you fucking like board games. It's like, who the fuck is this chump?
I'm
this
not,
chump.
How are they supposed to know that I, you know, enjoy Netrunner or, you know, fucking Magic the Gathering or what, you know, whatever. They wouldn't like come up to me and start being like, hey, like, what board games do you play? Like, let's, no, like, I'm not telegraphing king nerd. I'm not putting that out there. I'm not like sending that energy and aura into the world that they need to pick up on. So, I mean, that being said, I feel like there'd be a lot of king nerd at PAX.
I feel like, well, I mean, I kind of misunderstood your initial, when you said king nerd, I was like, I know what you're talking about. And then now you're describing king nerd. And I'm like, I think that was some people like that were definitely there. And it was funny because it's kind of like, I think about the time when, like I have like my like nerd group of friends that I grew up with, some of which listen to this podcast. So, hey guys. And like, we do stuff together occasionally when we're all happen to be in the same city, or like we can kind of make ways for us to come to the same city. And, one of the biggest things that we did like recently, quote unquote, was that we all went to go see Star Wars: The Force Awakens when it came out. Like all of us, everyone from, I was like still in New York, like I flew down there, like this whole thing. And like, it was funny because when we went, we were clearly like a group of nerd friends. Mm-hmm. But when we got to Star Wars: The Force Awakens, it was like,
us, the congregation
plus these like, but it was like, but it wasn't even like us plus then like 300 other people. It was like us plus 20 other groups of people that were also like us, where we're like these like little cabals of small nerd friends. And we've kind of like clocked some of these people growing up about being like, oh, there's that other nerd group or whatever. And so we went to the film. It was like very much like that, where it was like everyone was sitting with groups of like four or five people. And I think that in that way, it's very so like cute. That at PAX, where it's like a lot of people go, but everyone, I didn't get the sense that a lot of people went like totally alone. A lot of people went with like a large group of their friends. And so I feel like the hierarchies emerge where it's like, okay, this is that's the person that like runs the group a little bit. But there weren't like these like messiah figures that were like corralling everybody.
Nathan Fillion's walking around.
Yeah, no Nathan Fillion. I mean, like Patrick Rothfuss was there, but like, I don't think he was like around a lot. And like, I guess Gabe and Tycho are there, and like, so maybe they're King Nerd. Actually, the best King Nerd I saw, actually, now that I'm talking about it, was that I met fucking Gary from Gmod.
Oh,
he was at the Facepunch booth.
Whoa.
Yeah. So okay. It was like totally random. I just like saw the booth. I didn't even know he was gonna be there. And I was like, hey, is Gary there? Because I had like worked on there, like
just a walk up and ask of like the biggest.
Well, it was
names
like empty. There was like three people with like Rust paraphernalia on them, and I had like worked on the Facepunch Steamworks library, like on GitHub or whatever. So I'd coded, so I knew a little more than just being a fan. Like we talked online or whatever. And we started talking, but then like once everybody kind of clocked that Gary was there, like for sure, like swarms of people started to kind of like approach the booth. And so like I started talking to him when it was like me and him and like four other people. And then 10 minutes later, there's like a congregation of like 50 people, like trying to talk to Gary.
I feel like Lee Newell is probably like king of King Nerds. There's like Tim Schafer is like up there on King Nerd.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, it's those types of dudes.
Oh,
you know
I've saying? Definitely seen people flock to Tim at like events
whatever,
like around. I saw him alone at E3 walking, and I like wanted to stop and like be like, hey, I love Grim Fandango. But then I was like, that'd be weird as a journalist. And also, I've never seen him alone ever. And I've seen him around like just a lot in general, and I'm like, I don't want to.
Yeah, I've seen him at a couple of times
walking to the convention center.
That is like the weirdest thing about like these conferences too, and like GDC is like really like this because it's not like a fan festival. Is that you see these people that have these like huge outsized personas online, and then they're just like drinking alone at a bar.
Yeah. Like, oh, it's yeah. Just, oh no, just that's a person. All. That's like, all Dice is, dude. If you ever go,
yeah, it's
Dice,
like no one like none
all
of these people,
people
have
you see from. Press yeah. conferences from
like
Twitter.
Very few people have like in-person famous aura status. Like even I think I actually saw Tim Schafer at PAX, and he was like one other person with them, but like imagine like any major celebrity is inside that realm of like anywhere, and they just get flocked, and very few people I think in games actually have that sort of pool. And I think it's because like I think I mean, this is related to something I read recently that was really interesting. On there was an old blog post from Steam Spy. For a small diversion, and Steam Spy being the website that basically tracks Steam stats and gives people who want to know how well games are doing on Steam kind of a better way to understand how games do, because Steam doesn't reveal stale stats. But basically, the article was like, it was like looking at essentially like number of owned games by people on Steam that play games. So like looking at basically how much the average account has like number of games. And what it essentially breaks down to is that like the number of people that actually buy more than like 10 games on Steam is like about 1 million people, which sounds like a lot, but it's like a fraction. It's like a percent of Steam's like total size, which is like 250 million people. And so
Kyle just got
Kyle's
served.
Like was hand a plate of food. Right. It's like
thank you, Rebecca. We can cut that out.
I can smell it here.
Thank you. Yeah.
Wafting in.
I'm going to start that.
No, just keep going. Just keep
so
going.
I'll try to think of how to what basic. So basically they he ran this piece where he was looking at his stats about how many people own other games that play games, and found out that the amount of people that actually own more than like 10 games is about 1 million people, which sounds like a lot of people, but it's only a fraction of a percent of how many people are on Steam. Most people just buy Steam to like play Dota, play TF2, play Counter-Strike. Like that's still the case. And so when we talk about people who like buy and play indie games, there's actually like there's essentially 1 million people that everyone is competing for the audience of. So it's one thing to think like, oh, like I'm releasing on Steam, I have an effective audience of 250 million people. And the Steam Spy guy is like, no, like actually you really only have a million people that you're competing with, because you're not, unless you're like fucking, you know, Riot with League of Legends, like you're making a game that is only appealing to people who buy video games. And that's a small amount of people. And what this gets back to celebrity stuff is that I think actually most people basically stay inside of their niches. Like you come to Steam, you buy the game you want to play and you play it. You buy Binding of Isaac, you buy Counter-Strike, you buy Rust, which is like probably the closest to non-Steam game as a service thing. Like basically people sit inside of these silos. So outside of the audiences for those games directly, like there's very few crossover of that. Like, so people don't necessarily like the audience potential for someone to like have this sort of like cult of personality or like being famous is actually relatively small, considering that like they might have a really active and engaged audience, but unless they're directly around those people, it's not necessarily the case that like the guy who made Super Meat Boy is going to be also flocked by the people who like to play Celeste or something. It's like those people have their own little groups and it doesn't necessarily cross over. So this sort of like compounding fame that works for celebrities, I don't think really works in games for the same way.
I was also, this had me thinking to go on another tangent, but I feel like nerd is like the most fragmented group. Like the shades of nerds, there's just so many. Like you'll go to an event that is for like nerds ostensibly, and then just like the spread of like how people look and behave is just so fucking far removed that it's like you could both define yourselves by like my love for this one video game or whatever, and yet you would never like get along or like really see eye to eye with each other like in everyday life. You know what I'm saying? Like when we're at E3, Katie, I would just like be looking around and it's like every little group of people is just like completely fucking different. I mean, there's some similarities there because like you see a lot of developers, a lot of journalists and stuff like that who are a little bit more defined, who have a little bit more like set communities that like kind of look and do similar things. But like if you look at it at a more zoomed out level, like the nerd spread is just fucking huge. Like the diagram, like the plot points on a diagram would be so far away from each other, it's nuts.
I think it's also because like nerd culture has essentially become culture. Like I've read that in a few places too. It's like fucking the Marvel movies are the biggest things, like, and those are comic book movies. Like there was a time when like Game of Thrones was not watched by like every fucking person on the planet. Like the first season was like a fucking nerdy ass like fantasy show for fantasy nerds. Like
it was like Lord of the Rings for adults.
Yeah, that it was like not that, like, was, like it wasn't some massive cultural milestone that I could like walk into Starbucks and expect, you know, 80% of the people in there to have watched the show. So I think like to the point of like the spread of nerds, I think it's that it's essentially just like everybody. It's like the spread of life now. And then the only thing that you're, the only like sub selection you're doing is like people who go to conferences, and then you're kind of like, it's whatever. It's, are you a nerd? Are you at a conference? And then if you're there, you're probably already, it's like so many more different weird types of people and like whatever that are into this stuff now. That's not just like, yeah. I think that the difference though, Josh, I think is like, you're talking about going to board games. I do feel like when I go to a board game cafe though, it's like pretty the standard. That's it's nerds. Like the board game people.
That's nerds.
Yeah, it's like those are the nerds. I feel like my local, I love board games.
My local board game cafe is like all, it's like people that, I don't know, it doesn't feel like a nerdy thing. It's like a weird like almost
hipstery,
like,
is it a hipstery?
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure. But I wouldn't say the people that go there are hipstery. I'd say it's like you see like a lot of teenagers there, and then you see like a lot of dates and like friend groups and stuff, and just like,
yeah,
doesn't strike me as like nerdy. It's just like a hangout that's not a bar.
Yeah,
in the city
there's some spots like that in like New York too and stuff. Yeah, I mean even among the nerds there's like the smelly nerds who are like super unkempt, there's the like kind of obnoxious nerds who almost like act like theater kids. There's,
I mean, they, I feel like a lot of it is theater kids. Like, yeah. Not to, if I anyone was listening kid. Was a theater kid, yeah. You were,
I, but God, I didn't I act hated like the theater, a theater kids in my high like school. The, like, I mean, you know,
oh man,
I was a kid in theater. I never was like, oh, hey, everybody, Hamilton.
I'm dramatic about everything. That's exactly how theater kids of today were. Well, like back in my high school, it was like Spring Awakening was the big fucking
oh god, hip singing in public.
Thing. They like sing a lot. Oh Jesus, and, you know. I mean, honestly, the music in that musical is pretty good, but
I was like Zac Efron's character in High School Musical, where I was like also on the water polo team while doing it. And I just auditioned for a play in sophomore year of high school, and then I got like the lead, and it just happened randomly.
Oh shit!
And everyone was like,
"Man, you're like, damn, now oh, I guess I'm here.
He can sing." Oh.
Was it High School Musical too?
No, it was a fucking some Cole Number Porter one. Joint.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah.
A Cole Porter joint, baby. I've been playing some Gears of War 5.
Oh, you have? We should play Horde Mode together. I doubt
I might not ever play that game again.
Oh, okay. Well, let's hear about it. I downloaded it and have not played it yet because all I'm interested in is Horde Mode. I don't give a shit about the campaign.
I did give a shit about the campaign. I want to play. Oh. I wanted to play the game because, like, I remember enjoying the first one. But I don't, you know, I've played a lot of games where, like, the new one plays similar to the old one. But this game, I feel like this is just Gears of War 1 with a different skin. Which is fucking unacceptable to me, dude.
That is crazy. I've never played a Gears of War game, so I'm honestly like, I've only played Horde.
It's fucking mind how this is like, it feels like the same fucking game. Like, one of the guns is called the Lancer, right? That's the gun with the chainsaw, the famous Gears of War gun. They have the Lancer in this game. But they also have the retro Lancer, which is the same as like the old Lancer, how it handles from the first game. And it feels only marginally different from the regular Lancer, which is like now the 2019 Lancer or whatever. And I swear to God, like a lot of the shit that was like annoying about playing Gears that used to be annoying about it is like the same now. And there have been some things that have changed. Like, I feel like now it's less dude bro-y, which is cool in its way. It's a little bit less dude bro-y, I guess. There's like a woman.
I mean, it feels like an answer to that, right? Like they like have the girl as the hero. And I've heard it's like weirdly.
Yeah, no, it's intentional.
Like all the shit.
Yeah, now it's which like is cool. Yeah. War is bad. And like maybe the machismo is not such a good thing, which is cool. Like, you know, I'm down for that, but it's like, and then also it's not like all gray and black, like all the shooters from Gears of War 1 period where it was just like super washed out, desaturated. Now there's like color and shit and that's cool, but it feels like I'm having not played like almost any other Gears game between 1 and 5. I am disgusted by how much this feels like the first Gears of War. And I'm glad I didn't pay $60 for this shit because then I'd feel obligated to finish it.
Oh, it's on Game Pass, yeah. Right?
It's Game Pass.
Fuck yeah.
That's why I download it, is like Game Pass.
Yeah, I give exactly. Like Game Pass fucks about this game. So
exactly. That's exactly where I stood. But it's like, you know, it's a new AAA game. It's like there's something fun about that.
It's Microsoft's first game since Crackdown. I want to see the fucking Crackdown.
Set pieces go. But the other thing, this game has given me a couple more things that are pissing me off, okay? First of all, Tom Bissell.
Go in.
Love the guy. Love Extra Lives. Love his writing. Love his work for Grantland. But the writing feels very Joss Whedon, quippy.
Wait, did he write it?
He's the lead writer.
What?
Yes. He's been the lead writer for like a couple games in the Gears series.
Weird.
Now.
I had no idea.
It's crazy, right?
That's strange. Okay.
It's quippy. The characters will say things that are like too smart or like too clever for them to be saying, really. Like the word, there's a lot of wordplay where I'm like, you're fucking, you look like a football player
you're
inflated with steroids and like helium, and you're saying like smart shit that is like these like clever turns of phrase, and it's like, I stop it, like that's not real. Second, there's a lot of slow shit in this game. That's like walking sim-esque, like, you know.
Oh my god! This was Gears' problem, like from like the bat. It's such a slow game.
And then they have these sections. Remember in Uncharted 4, I think, where you go to that village and you're just walking around. It's like all this crazy shit had just happened. You did all these set pieces and big, and then you're just walking around in village. And it's like, oh, this is different. It's like a walking simulator for 15 minutes. The first like big portion of the game is like that. I'm in another section now. It's the same shit. And there's this little kid following you around and he's like, fascist. He's saying, fascist. He's fucking fascist. And it's like, oh my God, dude, this is the most like fucking video game shit ever. And
it's like, it can't be subtle about it. It's got to just be like,
he's following really around, drive the point home. Literally saying fascist. And that's all he's saying. And then it's just bad. Slow. I'm walking around like fucking a tank and you can't run that fast. And it's a big ass area and I'm wasting 20 minutes of my life. And then the final thing that I want to say about this game, and I've felt this way for a while now, but I didn't want to say it for fear of sounding dumb, but fuck reading in video games. Stop fucking giving me shit to read, dude. Like, I don't want to read your fucking novel because you have a writer who's like good and they feel like they got to put their shit in the fucking game. Look, there's a time and place. Okay, I appreciate reading things in certain contexts. I appreciate reading things in certain video games. But I'm like, in Gears of War 5? Stop this. Stop the fucking madness.
I mean, I'm going to be straight up. I don't know what, like, is it like, is the world interesting? Is there interesting lore? Is there like an interesting world to write on top of? Like, that would make those collectibles.
No, I don't care. No. Okay.
I feel like I heard this on a different. I think on the Bombcast they said something to that effect of like there's like too much of just stuff that doesn't no one cares about.
It doesn't really shed that much light on what's going on to me. Honestly, I had the same problem with Control.
Oh really? I loved all the shit in Control. No, I was reading all of it.
Some of it was cool, but it's like such a fucking interruption to the fact that I'm playing a video game. Like, there's got to be a better way to do. Give me like a companion app or something. I don't fucking know, man. But, and then in Control with the hotline shit.
Oh, I hate the hotline stuff. That stuff you sucked. You can't just sit there and watch
the video, which is the same thing visually over and over. And if I could have the audio, the best way, let me have the audio play in the background. Do the extra fucking work of having someone read this thing. Like, I don't know, Bioshock does it or something. Which came out, by the way, a long ass time ago, and these games still haven't picked up the clue. But it's just not doing it. Gone Home, okay, sure. Tacoma, whatever. Well, you know, all those type, you know, Oberdin. If it's that type of game where I'm like,
where's the point?
Unfolding the game story. Is about
and that. Oberdin never yes. over those like dialogue scenes are never long or anything. They're like a yes. minute tops. So yes. it's like, and you're like listening because you're like, okay. What the fuck is this dude's accent trying to pinpoint where he's from or whatever? It's like,
I'm thinking of, and I would think about the guy, you know, the person who picks up Gears of War, who plays GTA and FIFA. That's the only two games they play every year. And then
and Spider-Man.
I used to love Gears growing up, dude. I'm going to fucking buy this shit. I just got the new Gears, bro. You want to play some Gears? And they're playing this game and there's like three page writings where they're picking up an object and it's like, why is this fucking here? Why am I walking through a village where kids calling me a fascist? I mean, I'm all for making games like more artistic, whatever the fuck, but Gears, really? Is that where we're gonna fight?
It sounds
this fight?
Like it's like my it's Lord. Almost like it's responding to like valid criticisms of the game industry.
Yes, it is.
But it's doing it in a game whose audience is not the people that are making those criticisms.
I think that's kind of the problem is that like it doesn't like it's cool. I feel like personally I'm like that's cool. They're like trying to do something, you know, that's more interesting than just doing the same old shit again, especially if it's problematic or whatever. But yeah, like when I think Gears of War, I think of like the most like generic bro that plays like the guy that plays like only Grand Theft Auto and FIFA or like NBA 2K or something, like, you know, like the person is not, they're not going out after those Sony exclusives, the prestige shit. They're like, they just want a game where they like Borderlands, like to just shoot shit and not think about it, you know.
I feel like they could make made it more woke and more fun, because a lot of the like woke shit is like shit you could just put in the game. Like, just have these women characters have these like criticisms of war and shit like that in the game, but like, just keep it tight. You know, it's a fucking AAA game, action game. Like, I don't want to sit there and read and walk through these dumbass fucking villages. and the
to me, combat... this sounds like you don't like being called a fascist, Josh.
Are you a fascist?
Are you fascist?
No, I'm not a fascist. What's next, calling everyone fascists?
I have a segue.
Oh,
yeah. Speaking of fascists.
Did you guys play Borderlands 3?
No.
No.
I'm curious about it because I've heard really mixed to bad things. So,
I read a great review on Rock, Paper, Shotgun. I'm curious about it. Just was like, it exactly nailed my thoughts, which is that the review I think was really good. It was just like, it's exactly what you expect, but it's fun to play with friends. So.
Yeah, that's kind of like why I'm curious, but I also hate the humor in those games. And I feel like I've kind of passed the time where I could hop on and play with friends, because I'm like, well, in a week, none of my friends are going to be playing anymore. And I'm, it's like, and then Destiny 2, like, Shadowkeep's around the corner, and that's going to be my new play with friends game. So I'm kind of like, fuck it. I'm just going to wait.
But I don't know. I'm like, I'm interested in it for that reason, is like, it's a dumb fucking thing to just pick up and shoot shit like really easily. And I played like a fair number of the first one, and I skipped the second one. That was another game that had like a fucking huge presence at PAX. And like, talk about like gamer shit. Like, they were passing out those like masks. I don't know what those people are called. Psychos. They had like psycho masks. Oh, yeah. And like every single person at PAX was like, gotta get that psycho mask merch. It's just everyone had those masks to put on their wall. I don't know what you do with that.
Wear it at PAX and then you throw it in the trash.
No, like Josh said, you go to fucking middle school and you're like, check it out. Got this cool mask. I went to PAX, bitch. Yeah. I went to PAX. Whatever.
I thought about getting Borderlands 3 like very seriously. And then I was like, it's $60 and that's just going to be like,
it's going to be $20 in like 3
weeks.
It's going to
be $4 in like a month.
That's true.
I had the exact same thought. And also because it's going to get like a million expansions. So I was like, it's going to be on sale.
It's going to get a Game of the Year edition. It's going to like,
I'm the same place with Control right now, where it's like, I want to play it, but it's $60. Like, I'll just wait.
You know about NoFap?
I think Control is going to drop in price. I'm totally glossing over what Josh just said.
Wait, no, this is a serious question.
NoFap?
Yeah, NoFap.
Is this like FAP, like masturbating? Is this what this means? Okay.
Yeah. There's like a subreddit called NoFap, but it's like...
Oh, God, is this like self-fucking again?
No. It's
more
the opposite.
Self-fucking.
Yeah, where it's like you refrain from...
You don't self-fuck.
...touching oneself in order to...
You got to bring it back to Borderlands real fast.
It makes it better. It makes things better. Like, you're not, you know, you become less
you're saying
driven
by,
NoFap, by like the.
I'll be better. I'll be more excited about Borderlands.
If I don't masturbate for a year, I'm going to be so pumped for Borderlands 4. Eventually.
You start letting go of the like the desire, the constant hunger, because you're like, it's not a big deal. It's like, I don't need it, you know?
This is what I do for like driven by all that. AAA games. And this is why like, I'm finding a really hard time to go back to Red Dead Redemption, because it's like one's talking about it, and the game
really
is a fucking chore to play.
Man, I really want to play that game again. I keep having the weird itch.
But you don't.
Because I know I'm going to fall.
That's the issue.
The thing is, like, I'm going to fall back into it. Like, I know if I start playing it, I'm just going to keep playing it for a long ass time again. Because I want to play from the start, because I want to, like, maximize all the camp shit. So I'd want to, like, do, like, a fresh start. And, like... I just can't do that to myself. I can't lose myself to a game like that.
Yeah. And my point about NoFap, sorry, folks, but it's that with games, when you do that, when you throttle the hype to a low level and you just kind of refrain, you get out of the cycle for a little bit, and then you pick up a game and you become a video game critic all of a sudden. You're like Reed McCarter out here. Talking about, you're like a Katie McCarthy going like, everyone loves this, but I wasn't a big fan. And I noticed that I'm like three times more critical of games
when I don't pay for them or when I'm like not super hyped for them. And I want you to think about, dear listener, I want you to think about when you play a regular game, AAA game that came out, that just launched, that maybe you weren't even that hyped about or you hadn't really heard of before, but you read one good article about it and then you played this game and you're like, oh yeah, what they said was right. All the marketing is totally here. All the points that they made in that press conference are totally being delivered upon to me on my $60 product that I just paid for. Okay, think about that mindset. We've all been there. We're all gamers. I know how you think. And then think about that fucking Humble Bundle game that you got that you paid $3 for and it came with six other games. And just look, think about it sitting there in your fucking Steam library and how you're thinking about this fucking game and how you don't even want to fucking pick that shit up because you didn't pay any that much for it and it's actually not that interesting seeming to you. And then you one day you're like, you've worn out every other option and you're like, you know what, fuck it, this is where the backlog queue is, I'll pick this thing up right now. You play it for 5 minutes. What do? You don't even save your fucking game. You press escape, exit to desktop, and you never touch that shit again.
Four.
You never touch that shit again. If the game is lucky, okay, you just let it sit there with the text is still white in your Steam library. And then 3 months later, you go, I need some space on my hard drive.
Dude, my Steam library, for real though, like I have like two games installed. I'm so like good about uninstalling when I'm like, I'm done. I don't need to play this anymore.
I have so many games installed. I'm always I have 100 games installed.
Yeah, I'll play the Sexy Brutal.
Oh my god, that is so real. That's so real. It's exactly what that game. It's like, well, obviously I'm gonna play this game. It sounds so cool.
And like, sure.
Like, let's play Overwatch. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh god. Jesus. Anyway, Gears of War 5.
I think this is like the thing that like fucks games up. Like I think it's especially the case with like the fucking video game awards. Like I think I made a comment about this the last time, but like every video game is marketed as like the best game ever that like has a budget behind it. So like just the mentality is that games that don't have that are just perceived to have less value. So it's, I think like as a gaming population, we have a hard time prescribing value to stuff that's not been like allotted value from like the people promoting the game, which I think this is like the work of, I mean, Katie, I think you did this with your indie games piece for a while. It was like trying to just say like, this stuff is worth it, even if it's $2 or like whatever else. But I think like part of, I think what being like a gamer with a capital G is like being part of that hype cycle. It's like getting stoked about a game, playing it when it comes out, and then like fucking dropping it when the company announces their new game at the Game Awards, where they just gave an award for the game. It's like, well, you thought that game was cool. Wait till you see that game too. Like, fuck!
That lose game your fucking two. Mind.
And you're like, well, now that game two looks so much cooler than that game one. So like that game is gonna be the best game. So I think like digging your library is hard in that way because you don't have the hype cycle propelling you to play something. Games are a big investment, and like you might have spent $3 in the Humble Bundle on it, so you don't actually have that sort of like even like sunk cost issue. It's just like the game is worth nothing. No one is telling me it's worth anything. Why would I want to play this? Mm-hmm. Which gets back to something I talked about a long time ago in a podcast about like people valuing game design as a thing. And actually, our next Game Club episode will talk about this. You should listen and subscribe, but. Basically, like, I don't think that good game design is actually a good selling point for a lot of people, or very rarely, very rare cases, I think that it's the case. So it's like, why would you go back to the game that you got in a Humble Bundle, especially if it wasn't the one that you bought the bundle for? It's like, no one buys the Britney Spears album and just listens to the song that wasn't popular, that wasn't like the single or something. I mean, Britney Spears is a bad example, but. It's like you don't play number 5 of 6 on the Humble Bundle if you bought it for the top game in there because no one's telling you it's worth anything.
Yeah, exactly. It's like in a lot of ways, the hype is the product. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's why it feels like games are a much more fulfilling endeavor when you pursue them that way, when you're like part of the conversation and you're reading the articles about it and seeing if what this person said holds true with your experience or whether it's as moving as everyone says it is. And like that stuff, it sets this like internal bias where like you want to enjoy the game, where you're like, you're invested in it. And, you know, I appreciate that. You know, I think there's times where you can get hyped up for a game and like that's a good thing and it makes the game better and like more enjoyable. But at the same time, like when you kind of in a very adult way, kind of like remove yourself from that to the extent that you can, like there's going to be a lot of the whole like let people have fun thing. And have fun getting the hype cycle, but also like realize the consequences of that and how like it affects the way that your brain thinks about games and how maybe you're not thinking super critically about it and how someone else's input on the things that you're not seeing might actually be valid. And I think that's one thing that a lot of people miss in like their hype for a game is that like a lot of times there's things wrong with it and like they don't really see that because they're there for the product, they're there for the hype, they're there to like, you know, retroactively just like do the Ouroboros like recursive thing of like feedback loop that is like I enjoy this therefore it's enjoyable type thing that just like goes on infinitely, you know what I'm saying? And it's just like gassing yourself up to the point where like you're liking this game where if it cost $2 and came out 3 months ago, you probably would not be nearly as interested in that shit, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, a game that didn't have much hype, Creature in the Well.
Yeah,
playing that.
I feel like there was hype for it. I feel like I was seeing hella people talk about it.
I mean, maybe in your corner of the internet, Katie.
Maybe
in your bubble of games journalists.
That's true. I feel like people are like really talking this shit up, and I still haven't played it. I'm getting a Switch Lite though on Friday. Very fucking excited.
That's sick.
And I'm thinking about like games I'm gonna play portably. I'm like, maybe I'll pick up Creature in the Well. Maybe I'll pick up Link's Awakening. Who knows what the fuck the future holds. But I
hadn't heard of it. I hadn't heard of it. And I saw it on Game Pass, and I wasn't even that interested in it.
Oh, it's on Game Pass?
It's on Game Pass?
Yeah, it's on Game Pass.
Oh, fuck.
I totally bought it on fucking Switch.
You did?
I'm not getting Switch. Like, I'm getting that shit on Game Pass.
I'm glad I bought it on Game Pass. I'm glad I bought it outright on Switch.
Supporting the developers. No, fuck it. I'm playing on Game Pass, baby.
Now you'll enjoy it more, Kyle.
I know. I definitely bought it. I was like, well, I just spent $15, so I got to play at least a few hours.
I mean, I bought Wilmot's Warehouse, and that was like, I think, $15 also.
That's on Game Pass?
No, I bought that on Switch.
Okay. I was like, fuck.
I think that's just Switch and PC. I don't think that's on Xbox.
Yeah, no, I definitely bought I just bought it too, and I was like,
real quick PSA, by the way, anytime you're about to buy a game, definitely check your Epic Game Store, check your Steam, check all your platforms.
Make sure you don't already have it. I definitely bought games twice before.
Make sure you don't already have it buried in the sad part of the Humble Bundle you got. You're like, wait, I do have the Binding of Isaac.
I probably own the Binding of Isaac on every launcher.
But Creature in the Well.
I got so many copies of fucking Eats.
Eats,
man.
And Eats and like World of Goo.
World of Goo is another one.
World of Goo.
Oh man, there's like another game I'm trying to think of. It's like it has like these like it was like a early PS4 game, and it's like about like a drawing or a character is like hand drawn and they travel the world. It's like, do you know what I'm talking about? Doki Doki Universe. I have that on like probably every fucking platform, and I don't know why. Because I think I played it for like 5 minutes once, and I just own that everywhere.
I have like 30 copies of Trine.
Yeah, Trine's another one.
And 15 copies of Trine 2.
Isn't Trine 3 coming out soon, or is it Trine 4? I don't know. Like
it's Trine 4.
Trine 4. I don't know shit about Trine. I know that I have it on Steam, most definitely.
Most of those games. Guess what? Most of those games, I like look it up. I'm like, I look at the reviews, or I'm like, is this even worth downloading? And then the reviews are always like
generally positive. You're like, okay,
it's okay. Right. It's like pretty good. I'm like, all right, sure, I'll download it. Creature in the Well. It's really a interesting game. There's a lot going on here. The basic gameplay loop is you got like a sort of bat club thing, and there's little balls that are like filled with energy, And what you're trying to do is you're trying to hit those balls into these, like, think of like on a pinball machine, the, what are those called? The bumpers. Yeah. And they're just like pinball type bumpers, like all throughout the level. It's like a top down perspective, like almost like isometric. But
you know,
you hit the balls into these bumpers in order to charge them up, because you're trying to like repower this like ancient fortress machine thingy. And when you do that, you pass the level and then you move on. But there's, you know, that stuff is all twisted and bent mechanically in a lot of ways, because sometimes when you bounce a ball off a paddle, it'll become like a damaging bullet that comes back at you and you have to dodge it. Or, you know, sometimes like if you hit something, you know, if you hit a certain paddle that you're not supposed to hit, it'll explode. And if you're in the area, you know, the radius, it'll hurt you type thing. So you can die. It's got like roguelike elements where you're going through these like dungeon type things, essentially playing like baseball, pinball, going through these things. With games like this, it's difficult because you don't have anything to compare it to. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have much of a litmus test for this stuff, where if you're playing a platformer, it's like, I know what good fucking platforming feels like, right? If I had to explain to you, or like if I was absorbing for the first time the concept of platforming, I would be more like, am I enjoying this system as a system? Or, you know, am I, is it not that enjoyable of a thing to do? Which is kind of where I am with this, where it's like, I don't have a real precedent to compare this to, where I'm like, oh yeah, this is a great pin brawler, or whatever the fuck they're calling it. So I think that's like where I am with this game right now, where I'm just trying to parse like whether the loop itself is cool and I'm enjoying it. And I, at this point, I think I am. It's kind of relaxed in a way a lot of other video games aren't, because you can kind of do it on your own time. It does get a little bit intense with the way that some of the levels happen, and there's some difficult parts, some parts where I've been dying quite a bit. But it's really neat. It's really interesting. I like it.
I feel like to your point of like trying to figure out how to like judge it in light of not having like easy bedfellows with like other games. Yeah. I think kind of what you're saying is, it's just like, is the core loop good?
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm more on the line of like, no, like it's, the idea is like compelling, but like, I'm not sure the system is like fun. Like it's like, I know the F word, it's hard for us to say the F word around here, but it's a sort of game that wants that thing to be very fun, because the structure of the game is literally like, there's essentially like five or six worlds, and each world you go through and you try to beat it, and then you die if you don't beat it. And so the whole game's premise is basically built on, you like doing this action enough to do it for five worlds. And like, I'm kind of like, I don't really like doing it. It's like, part that's really weird for me, that Josh, you didn't really touch on this, but like, it's really imprecise. Like, it's, the game moves so fast, and the thing that you're swinging is long enough. And also like, different things have, you can basically get different essentially paddles to swing at, and different ones have sort of different attack and release times, and also have different links. But the ball is moving so quickly towards you, it's like really hard to actually line up your character properly, such that when you smack a ball, it goes where you want it to go. So the game, but at the same time, the game also needs you to be very precise. Like, a lot of the puzzles, even early on, require you to basically put the ball in a very specific trajectory. And so just almost like right from the bat, the game is expecting you to be way more skilled at playing it than you are. And even I've like beat two or three of the worlds now, and like, I still suck at playing this game. And maybe that's what the case is here, but I feel like the sort of like kind of imprecise mechanics of movement and like hitting, aligned with this like very precise requirements for play, generally leads me to be more frustrated than like excited when I'm beating a level, such that like when I win something, it feels like I kind of lucked out. And I would understand it if the game was like about chaos and like trying to be weird, but like, it's just, seriously, some of these things are like, you got to just really kind of fine hit this sort of dot. And that would also be different if like the control was like way more kind of balanced and like made sense. But because like, you're at this top down angle, and you have to basically, you're only positioning where your character is at in space, and you can't like, you can't really like hold and rotate. And then even when you do, if the ball comes to you and you let go, you kind of move in that direction. So it's also like you can't really like aim the paddle properly. So there's like so many, so much of me playing this game is just being like, just fucking whacking it until it kind of works out, and then kind of like slowly trying to like maneuver myself just like 2 inches to the left and with the right angle. And oh fuck, I missed it, and now I got to start over. And it's like that's not fun. It's like it just feels fiddly.
I agree. What I've done to sort of remedy this, and it's such a thing that I felt like I had to take precautions to remedy it, is that they have like different, you know, they do have different paddles that you can use that have different effects. And one of them, the ones that I'm using, when you hit the ball, it gives you a line of sight, like a laser that shows you exactly where the ball is going to go. I don't know if you picked that up.
Why isn't that just a thing in the game? That should just be there.
I agree.
For everything.
It's one of the things that you get. And then there's another one that you can hold in your other hand or whatever that slows down time when you hit the ball. So you can kind of hold it and then line up your shot. And then you can become precise that way. But
that feels like a weird solve. It's like,
even then,
so you have to play with the one combination.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is like A, that, and B, even when you play with that, it still feels a little bit fiddly, where it's like you're still, there's something about the way that the character rotates where it's like,
yeah, it's
it
weird.
Feels like you press the button and it's still, the character still moves after you hit the ball.
Yeah.
It's like when you release it, it's still taking your inputs to where the ball should go. So it's like where you aimed it is like not exactly where it's going if you're still trying to move your character. Also, the fact that aiming, I just thought of this right now, the fact that aiming and moving are like basically, you know, kind of occurring in similar.
Oh my God, it's so stupid. Yeah, it's like your character moves as your aim versus like being able to aim the paddle independently of your character.
Yeah.
So you're like, so you have to move.
That's
in
why
the direction
twin stick shooters
aiming.
Are twin stick.
Yeah, it's like it doesn't make sense.
It should be like a twin stick shooter. It should be made like a twin stick.
However,
just saw this game.
However, we did not talk about this. The game is fucking beautiful.
Yes.
This game has like the most choice aesthetic.
Yeah.
That is just, and I think the world building is like kind of cool. There's like the premise is that there's basically this monster in this mountain that's like fucking pissed off. You're trying to build this machine. So as you're moving around the level, kind of like activating and turning this thing on, the monster is kind of like, you see its eyes when it's like gets really dark, and he'll kind of pop up and his hands will pop up, and different at the end of each like kind of world or chapter or whatever, you fight them for like a little like kind of like a mini boss style. You don't see their whole thing, but kind of this sort of world building around this sort of character is like really cool. And there's also like some other just general like world stuff. The game is not like select a level, play the level. There's a kind of, there's a world that frames a lot of the level selection stuff. So it's fun to kind of have, see how the game kind of loops back in on itself. And like, oh, this area actually connects to this area, and that's the whole map thing going on. So that stuff is cool. So, and that's, it's honestly like the game looks good enough to make the fiddliness of playing it be like worth it. Because it's like, it is genuinely like exciting and interesting to like go to each new little area, because I think outside of the control itself being kind of bad, like the actual design of what you're supposed to do is often interesting. The world itself looks cool. Like the game is beautiful. So like all that stuff, it's totally got going for it. But like this, the way you fucking play it, it's just, it's not great.
The other thing I want to say is that like, have you died in this game?
Yeah.
It sucks. It sucks. It throws you out of the dungeon. You have to run back to the dungeon, which takes about a minute. And then you have to go in, retrace your steps to the room that you were in. And the map's already kind of confusing. And then you can like keep going. So it's like you're got out like 3 minutes by the time you get back to where you were previously,
sucks.
Which fucking sucks.
The checkpoints and control were really bad like that too, where it's like, oh, now I got to run all the way fucking back to this boss. And have, like, a bunch of encounters along the way. It's, like, that's not cool.
It's this, like, we were inspired by roguelikes thing. Where, and they felt like they had to, like, include that feature, too. Because you couldn't just, why can't you just start me off at the, put me at the beginning of the dungeon, even. Like, come on.
Dude, I'm getting real sick of roguelike inspirations. I've been like playing some more roguelikes recently and like digging it, but like the way like roguelike inspiration started to like work itself into games has been frustrating. Like, I was playing Descenders again recently. You know, Descenders is a roguelike.
What? Like the bike game?
You know
game?
That? Yeah.
It's
a fucking roguelike. Game. You have a certain number of lives to go across this world. And if you fucking like eat shit too many times, you have to start over. And I'm like, fuck you. I just want to fucking bike around on cool courses.
I had no idea the game was like that. Why do I have to like... Well, that's weird.
Yeah, it's fucking dumb. It's like a stupid structure to try to give the game like artificial difficulty and like... Like
is
structure,
that on Game Pass?
It's like that's just dumb.
According to the Berlin interpretation, what you're describing,
Descenders is not a roguelike. I would love a fucking turn-based downhill mountain biking game. Sounds lit though. Yeah. So, but I think yeah, it's this thing is like, why can't I just not die and just start in the same area? Like, what about your game is so amazing that I have to just fucking corpse run for 3 minutes to the back of this dungeon I was one room away from beating? Like, that's not helping me. Like.
Because if you get Games Twitter to talk about difficulty in video games again, then you're set with your marketing budget.
It's fucking done.
Should video games be hard? Sound off in the comments. How hard is too hard?
They should, but also
I'll be the one to write the "this game should have an easy mode" article. I'll take the fall, y'all.
All right, thanks, Josh. Thanks, man.
Video game bingo 2019. Every single time someone writes an article about how this game should have an easy mode, then that's a spot on the bingo.
That's bingo.
You win the game. You win bingo.
Katie, have you been playing any roguelikes recently?
I have actually. I've been.
Wait, really?
Well, kind of.
I was not expecting you to say yes to the question.
Yeah. Well, like Overland is kind of a roguelike, a little bit. Yeah, Overland is out. I guess by the time you listen to this podcast, it comes out tomorrow on Apple Arcade, on PC, on I think console. I've been playing on Mac. Surprisingly, runs well on Mac because I like downloaded by accident because I redeemed my code on my Steam on my Mac and then it just started downloading. And, like, and then well, I was like, all right, I guess I'm playing this on Mac. Whoops. But it runs well. So I'm like, okay, cool. It's, I guess, like, because coming out on, like, iOS and shit, I guess it makes sense that it runs well on Mac, but most games do not run well on Mac. Anyway, so it's a, strategy roguelike, I guess, is how I describe it. Like, it's procedurally generated, but it's, like, every run is, like, a roguelike. It's, like, when you die, you're dead. You have to go to the beginning. But they have it, like, segmented into chapters, and I think there's, like, 7 or 8 overall. And so, like, if you get to the next chapter, when you restart, you can just start from the beginning of that chapter, or you can start from the very, very beginning if you want to, but you're crazy if you do that, because the thing about this game is it's very, very hard. I've spent 15 hours on it, and I've gone to, like, 3 areas, and I have not passed the 3rd area. I was supposed to review it. I'm delaying that review because I've not finished it, because it's way harder than I anticipated. Like, I demoed it at maybe it was GDC actually. And I thought it was like a good challenging, like survival. It's very survival focused. Like it's all about like, you have to manage like, okay, like how much gas do I have? Do I have enough gas to get to this next station? Is my car beat up? Do I need to like venture out to find a repair kit? So you're kind of like, you have like this map. And then when you get past like a screen or a level, you kind of decide like, okay, like, you usually have like 2 to 4 routes you can take. So it's like, okay, if I need gas, I can go to a place that has fuel, or I can go to a place that has like the gas station marker and that'll give me more gas basically. Or it's like, oh, I need just random supplies. And there's like some markers that have like just random supply shit. There's like pharmacies for health stuff.
It's like FTL style,
yeah.
Right? It's like your,
and then there's like, and then, or like a car, like this place has a vehicle, but you never know like what you're going to get on the other side. So it's like, you can go to this place and it could be fucked. It could be like, there's monsters everywhere, or it could be like, oh, the shit here's not even good. Like, why the fuck did I waste like 4 gas to get, cause you have like a gas meter or whatever. It's like, why did I waste so much gas to get here if there wasn't even anything good? So it's always like a gamble. And I think the big problem I'm having is I feel like it feels too much like a dice roll. Like, I think my favorite procedurally generated in like roguelike type games are ones where it's like, even if I get like a bad roll of it, I feel like I can kind of scrape by at some capacity and still have a good time, you know, like I can still like survive the encounters or whatever. Whereas I feel like with Overland, it's like, if I'm like, there's one time I had last night where like I recruited some person and this person was also a mechanic. So like each character is like a character trait that like helps them. It's like, oh, like this person's like has an extra energy thing, or this person's good at repairing vehicles. This person can like scavenge without using an energy meter. So it's like, they all have like perks like that. And I found like another guy, but he was also like a mechanic. I'm like, I don't need two fucking mechanics. And I was like pissed off about it. I was like, this fucking sucks. Like, I don't want this fucking
AutoZone. What is this?
Yeah. And I was like, I should just leave this fucker behind. I don't even want him. I was like pissed. I was like, this sucks. Like, he really like spawned me in a game with two of the same character trait. Like, that's not cool. And then there's like other times where it's like, I've died on the first screen of my run. It's like, oh, there's like a bunch of these bomb alien things. And then one alien attacked it, because the aliens attack each other, which is like an interesting dynamic that you can kind of work to your advantage. But there's sometimes where it's like, oh, I didn't realize this alien on the other side of the square was by this thing. And then they attacked this thing and it set off a chain of bombs. And then it killed like one character and I'm damaged. And I can only, when you're hurt, you can only move like one square at a time. So it's just like such a tedious thing, dude. It's really brutal. Like, it does not fuck around. And I think when I feel like the first few hours I was really feeling it, I was like, yeah, this is like intense, but it like always feels cool. And I always feel like I'm like getting surprised and there's like cool, like random weird things that happen. Like, there's like one time where I was on a map and like all the enemies just randomly sank into the ground and there's like no explanation for it. And I thought like stuff like that's really cool. Or like, you know, like you find new monsters and you're like, what the am I like, should I not go by this one? And then you like learn, like the more you play, like, okay, this one's like not going to attack me. I can kind of push it, but it can explode or whatever and hurt me or whatever if another thing attacks it. So it's like, oh, I don't know. It's a weird game. I was like telling you guys before we started recording that I feel like it would have been much more impressive like 3 to 4 years ago. Like, you know.
That's the thing I think is like, that's going to be the context for this game, is that like this game is like, for listeners who don't know, is like a big deal, which is why it's interesting that you're playing it right now, because it's been in the works for like,
I've like heard about it for so long.
7 years, 8 years, like
a long time.
It's been a long time. Like, I remember, I think Josh, you came to the event I did in New York where we showed it like 3 years ago, and it was like, it felt fucking finished. Like, it was like, oh, it's good. So there's gonna be some, I mean, it might have come out by the time that we have this, but like, there's gonna be some big, like, this is why the game took so long.
I'm sure they're gonna, I could see them doing a blog post of like,
that's gonna happen. That's for sure. 100%. But I think that that's kind of the question, is that like, do people care? Like, the landscape of games has changed so much since the game was initially announced. Like, we were talking before the podcast, it's like the art style, which is this cool, like really cool, like low poly aesthetic, has now just been like, it's like a meme now almost. Like, so many games have low poly aesthetic, but at the time it was like totally new and like kind of weird and crazy that there's an indie game with this cool like low poly thing going on. And then like Into the Breach has come out, which is like everyone's like favorite strategy game of the past few years. Like another XCOM is like the landscape of like strategy and like especially indie strategy has just changed a lot now, where it's like, who's this game for? Is it for just game developers and people who like Finji and have been following Overland for forever? Is there maybe there's enough of those people that it'll be totally fine? But like, I don't know. I'm really interested to see what happens with the game, because I have like pessimistic thoughts about how it will do, but I hope it will do well, because it seems like it's really cool. But I don't know.
It's weird. Yeah. And it's like, I just like, I guess kind of complained about it. I feel like I'm still driven to keep playing it. Like, every time I fail a run, I'm still like game to go back in. I'm like, okay, let's just see how this next one pans out. Let's see, like, maybe I need to be smarter with like, maybe I need to be more aggressive. Like, I feel like one of the things I do is like hold back a lot, because every time you make a sound on some maps, it like makes more monsters pop up. So that's like a whole thing. There's like a risk I'm like very risk averse. So I'm like kind of like, maybe I should be more aggressive because I feel like I'm just kind of like walking around very slowly and not doing anything. And I feel like it's like a, I don't know, the procedural generation stuff is like fun. There's that cool, like surprise, weird stuff that keeps happening, like cars falling from the sky. And I imagine the deeper I get in, if I ever get past this fucking third biome, I'm sure there will be more weird stuff going on that will just like randomly happen and pop up. And I always think stuff like that's like really cool. Like I don't know. I feel like that's also another thing. It's like you have to make those runs fresh somehow, and it can't just be like different stats. It has to be like some weird shit going on. And I feel like Overland definitely has that. My only concern is I feel like because it's so fucking hard, like if I'm having trouble with it, the average, I feel like someone that doesn't play video games for a living is going to have like a lot of trouble with it unless they're like really good at strategy games. And it's also like pretty simple. Like there's not a lot of complexity in terms of the actions or anything. Like you're not seeing percentages of like, can I hit this monster? Oh, I have like a 96% chance. It's like not like an XCOM. Yeah, it's not like that type. Yeah. Or like even Mario and Rabbids had like the percentages. It's like, it's very much like if you're next to a thing, you can hit it. You have like a very easy to discern meter on the durability of all the weapons and tools you have. Like they're like visual cues are pretty easy to see. One thing I do have a problem with in the terms of the map design is sometimes it's like you can turn it, but you can't turn it all the way around. So sometimes I like miss items because they're like in a weird spot where I just cannot see it because I cannot loop it around unless I'm in photo mode, which is the only way you could turn the whole map 360, which I think is very strange. For like that very particular, like what's that word called? Is it, there's like a word for it. Like the square things. No.
Occlusion?
No. It's like a... not a vignette. I'm like trying... there's like a specific word for this.
The isometric?
No.
What are you trying to describe? I feel like this is like charades where the person who's like...
It's like a vignette, but like a vignette. Like a very specific, like it's like...
oh, letterbox.
No, not a letterbox. Not letterboxing. It's like, I'm like literally working with my hands right now, listeners.
Yeah.
No, it's like, you know, like when there's like a... it's like a snow globe, like a snow globe.
Three words.
Like...
oh.
Fisheye.
Is it a snow globe?
No, it's not... there's like a word for this. No, like the world inside a snow globe. Do you know what I mean? Like there's like a...
chiaroscuro.
Oh, like a tilt shift?
Like miniature?
snow globe. I'm just world. This is going to come to me like at 9 p.m. tonight and then I'll, in Discord, I'll be like, this is what Skybox? I was thinking of. No.
Edit the word in as a robotic girl voice.
We'll have Siri say it.
Skybox.
But anyway, to wrap up my thoughts on Overland, I don't know, I'm liking it, but I'm also like very frustrated by it at times, but I also want to keep playing it, which is strange. I'm very conflicted and I feel like I don't have my full thoughts because I have not seen admittedly even half of it yet, which is fucking crazy because I've played so much of it so far. And honestly, I bet there's gonna be someone that's like, yeah, I beat it all in 15 hours, like all seven areas.
Fuck you.
I'm like, you bitch ass, like shitty.
It's because you're a nerd. Yeah. I'm not a nerd.
But I don't know. It's a weird game. It's on Apple. It's coming to be on Apple Arcade. So if anyone gets the free trial for that, you can just play it. So technically, you play it for free if you so wish.
I'm so interested to see. I mean, the other thing about this game, too, just in terms of like it being successful, so to speak, is that they actually ran a really long early access campaign.
Oh, right. Yeah, they had the itch thing
since
yeah.
like for like years. I think they stopped doing it, but like all the people that were like stoked to buy the game like bought it 3 years ago and have keys for it. So I don't know.
Nice.
I think it'll do well, but
I think it's gonna do fine because I think people like those type of strategy games. I think it has enough of its own look. As much as the low poly stuff is played out, it has like this kind of like post-apocalypse vibe with like weird cosmic alien stuff that's going on. I don't know, it's like a cool...
Katie, is the word diorama?
Yeah,
there we go.
Hey, diorama.
No, I think this is the thing, is like I don't know, man. I'm just like, I'm looking at the game in my mind. I'm not looking at it right now, but I'm looking at it and I'm like, I don't know what brings someone to play this game. I don't know why.
Yeah, maybe I'm so insular that I'm like, I don't know. Yeah, it's like...
I mean, Adam seems like a great dude. Finji seems cool in general. Like, I think that's a thing, but like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll buy like, I'm it. Trying to think of like what other strategy games are out right now. I feel like it's kind of like doesn't have competition on that front. So that might be a plus.
Well, Cantata is on Steam and you can wishlist today, Cantata on so. Steam. There's not a lot of strategy stuff right now. I mean, Age of Wonders Planetfall came out.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, it's but so not, weird.
Indie strategy stuff is like few and far between. Yeah. There's very few indie.
Which I think is like in its favor. I also think it's weird because I feel like
Year Zero.
Oh, I want to play that a lot really bad. That's on Xbox Game Pass.
Josh, that's a tactics game.
It's whatever. You're What's walking around. It's like, it looks the same to me. They play different, fine, but... And that's like real time, right?
I thought it was like XCOM.
Real time, the turn's turn-based, yeah.
Okay, maybe you... Well, I want to play freaking
Disco Elysium, dude.
Yeah,
Boy, that game is... Dude. Oh, boy.
That trailer.
Well, I saw when they dropped that release date this morning. I was like, I woke up. That was the first thing I saw, and I just did Slack my work Slack. I was like, Disco Elysium, hell yeah!
Wait, Josh, you just found out about Disco Elysium today?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy, dude, man.
Where you been?
Dude,
where
I don't know. That trailer was something else. I never even heard of this shit. But dude, even the stuff that they were like, that trailer was like not your average marketing points. And it was like hitting me in a way where I was like, this is what I want out Getting of these hot fucking and games. And it was saying, make mistakes. When it was like, fall in love. I'm like, this is so like ambitious, dude. It was basically like.
Oh, that's like why I feel like it's taken so long. It's like, it's just, there's so much shit you can do. It's like it seems super fluid and it seems like it's in like a cool ass world. You know, I feel like that's like my big problem with like. Classic RPG types, like everyone tells me Divinity Original Sin 2 is like the second coming of God or Jesus.
Oh my God,
or
I'm so with you.
Like everyone I know says it, but I'm like
CRPG.
The fantasy, Dragons and Fairies. The fantasy is so hard for me.
Is this a CRPG, by the way? Is that what
it's like? CRPG ish. It's like that's like the style it's in, but it's like a.
But it's based
detective.
More around like dialogue.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm so.
It's more like Fallout,
this.
Like modern Fallout E, I guess.
I'm ready to risk it all for this game.
I'm ready to risk it all.
Dude, the art style looks fucking amazing.
Yeah, man.
Like some of the scenes that they were showing, I'm like, this just looks so. I've never seen anything like this. You know? Oh man.
I'm Give really excited. I did not expect it to come out this year. To be totally honest, so I'm super excited.
It's exciting.
Yeah. Anyway,
I think
was
it's
I saying
be...
something else about Overland or no? I don't remember. I feel like I was saying something and I just lost my train of thought.
I remember
what I was saying. So I feel like something that could it. I feel like the style or look of it seems like it's almost like trying to attract, or I feel like it kind of attracts a very specific audience, like maybe someone doesn't play a lot of strategy or tactics games. So I'm like wondering like how this like harsh difficulty that hits around like the second level is going to like. Because I don't know, it just seems kind of like not antagonistic is not the word I'm thinking of. I'm keep like forgetting words today. I'm so sorry. But you know, I mean, like it's just like at odds, I guess. Like it's this cute style and like it's just like very simple design of like there's no percentages, there's no weird stuff. It's like the tools are very straightforward, like a stick you can open locks or attack with. Like there's a knife, there's like a wooden board you can use as a shield. Like everything is like super straightforward. And yet the game is like really difficult and punishing. And it's like, it's anyway, I guess that's all I have to say about Overland. It's just, it's a very weird game.
We'll see.
I like it, but I
and there's
also,
a lot of shit coming out. It's like, that's coming out. Goose Game's coming out.
Goose Game.
Fucking Disco Elysium's coming out.
Well, it's like weeks from now, but
soon-ish. I just found this game called Stone Shard. It looks really cool. It was like pretty successful on Kickstarter and it's like a open world, like roguelike, like proper roguelike thing. And it's got my shit, which is it's like a pixel art game, but if you it's like kind of high res pixel art, but like if you put on an item in your inventory, you see it in the real game. And I'm like,
oh, I love that too.
That's
my favorite.
Yeah.
That's my shit right there. So that's
not
in the game. And I'm like, well, that's
that.
A reason to buy it.
Especially RPGs where I'm like always, I'm like, I'm wearing this funny hat. Why can't I see that in the game?
Yeah.
World of Warcraft.
So you can do that.
Yeah, I guess that's like a WoW thing. But I'm talking like, you know, just like a,
Final Fantasy was like
the there's like time. Outfits with, or there's like skins and outfits, but there's not like the items. Like if I'm wearing a weird belt, I want to see that shit. I want to see that on my character, this chunky ass belt. Like I think The Witcher think obviously most games, does that, but it's like my like Geralt always looks so fucking ugly because
it's I think just it's like I think because of most games, it's like you have to like if you add it to the character, you have to like then just do animations that account for that shit. Yeah. This game works because the animation is super simple because it's a roguelike. It's just a static character, and they they flip back and forth to like move up and down. So it's just like composite the sprite on top of the character, and then it works. So it really works for that game. I think it looks great. But that's coming out. Manifold Garden's coming out. It's like all like indie shit that's been like bubbling forever is now coming out.
500 games coming to Apple Arcade tomorrow. I guess today, if you're listening to this.
And there's new shit too, right? It's not like...
Oh, no. It's like all new, pretty much. Like everything launching on Apple Arcade's a new game. Like the new Shantae, like they're doing like a part one. They're splitting it for some reason.
There's a new Zach Gage game. New
Zach Gage game. I don't think that's actually an Apple Arcade's launch tomorrow. There's a new... that game, Hot Lava from Clay Entertainment's out.
Oh, well, also the Jenny LeClue got announced to come tomorrow. It's like, what the...
It's coming out tomorrow? Like,
Let me pull this Apple Arcade list because it's fucking insane.
Yeah. They announced it yesterday that it's coming out tomorrow.
Jenny LeClue.
Yes.
Of all it's coming out, games.
Yeah.
Holy.
They said it couldn't be done.
That's crazy.
Said it wouldn't be done.
Okay, hold on. Let me find this.
Jenny LeClue. I love French Detective Jenny LeClue. I feel like they must have like
sold people on this, like, it's gonna come to Apple Arcade, it's gonna be so exclusive, you're gonna get so many sales, and they're like, we have 500 games.
No, I was joking. It's not, it's like 50 games. I was joking with the 500.
That's still a lot of fucking but games.
50 new games tomorrow. Hold on, I'm like on the Apple Arcade page. So there's the Pathless, which is some Annapurna published thing. Hot Lava is like a big one.
Is there a page for this? I gotta dig in.
Oh yeah, there's a new game from Monument Valley devs called Repair.
Monument Valley 3.
There's that new Frogger game. There's like a new Versus Evil game. Like
there's gonna be some treasures in here. Bradwell
conspiracy. Like I feel like this is gonna be like a lot of weird gems.
There's gonna be some hitters.
How does this stuff actually? How do you play this stuff for the listener?
Oh, there's a new co-op game too.
Fucking Sayonara Wild Hearts is coming out.
Yeah, that's out tomorrow. That's been known though for a while.
Dear God, this is too many games. This is ridiculous.
Dude, yeah, I'm like, I think this comes out tomorrow, so it'll be tonight. Apple Arcade, so I'm excited to like download and just see what the f is.
It's like a subscription service. Oh well,
The Annapurna game is made by the same team that made Edith Finch.
Edith Finch. Is it? What's
Edith Finch?
It's a subscription service, right?
Yeah, it's about $4.99, but and the first month's free. Also, a new WayForward game called Spider Source. Yeah, iOS. This Kings of the Castle looks kind of cute.
This makes me want to upgrade my iPhone, which is what they want.
I gotta do it. I'm literally
Kunabi Brothers. This game called Lifelike looks really just based on this one screenshot. I'm like, ooh, I like this look.
The Kunami Bros.
Kunabi
Brothers production.
Apple Arcade, there's a lot going on. It seems like a good deal to me. It seems like there's like a lot of solid games.
There's a game called Lego Art House. What is that? That sounds exciting.
It's a it's a Lego walking sim.
Really?
No, I've just made that up.
And I'm excited to check all these out. Sonic Racing's gonna be on here. What the heck? Wait, a mobile Sonic Racing? Is this different from the one that came out earlier this year? What? Anyway, Apple Arcade, it's happening. It's a thing. Apple got that money. They're paying.
Wait, so how do you play this stuff again? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
It's like, it's not up yet. It comes out tomorrow. It's Apple Arcade.
No, I mean like, I'm looking, here we go. You play it on your Mac, your iPad.
Mac and iPad and TV are coming later this month. iOS is only launching tomorrow.
These are all fucking mobile games?
Yeah.
Fuck that.
But the Mac will be launching later this month, and Apple TV, which is nice because I have both those things. So I'm like, cool.
I have an Apple TV, but I gotta buy a fucking controller.
What? I think you could just sync your DualShock or Xbox or whatever. I think they said that in the conference. Is you could just sync your...
Wait, really? Yeah. You can sync your DualShock to...
You're like whatever controller. I'm back on. Your Xbox or DualShock, which is what I'm going to do. So.
Wow, this looks fucking fun. I feel like we're
live watching a press conference.
Where cards like, fall.
They just announced...
A captivating narrative puzzles that's also a compelling coming-of-age story.
God, fuck you. That sounds like every indie game in the past 3 years. It's also got such a name. It's like, She Dreams Tears.
She Remembered Caterpillars is a literal name of a game.
Oh, that is a game.
I've been spotting on the...
It's like, They Thought Nothing.
Thomas Was Alone.
Forever, comma, My Sister.
That sounds like such an actual name.
I know. It's such a...
Yeah.
Is it about...
Oh, that's going to be my new game. I'm going to make a...
Also, this game fucking looks like Overland. This game looks like Overland. This is what I'm saying. This style
also,
is like...
Also, there's a there, game in this Apple Arcade.
This game looks like Overland. Have you guys... No, watch this fucking trailer for Where Cards Fall. It like looks like Overland. And this is the fucking issue, is that like... The game had such a good art style that people just aped it in the past 5 years. The game hasn't come out.
Dude, this Kunabi brother game looks sick.
Yeah, right? But man, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh man, what was I saying?
Remember My Sister?
Atone, Heart of the Elder Tree. That's one of them. And all these like fucking app icons are just going to end up being like the main character. Looking like a cartoon, a like screaming, like the Clash of Clans screaming. Icon, where it's like.
There's a game in this collection, in this Apple Arcade launch collection, that is totally an Untitled Goose Game knockoff. It's called Sneaky Sasquatch. It's like the same thing. You're like a thing that's like steals things from humans and messes with them. It's like the Untitled Goose Game thing, but a Sasquatch. It's like a different art style, but still like.
The same.
It's like right when I saw it, I was like, this just sounds like Goose Game, but like uglier. Anyway.
Wow. This looks sick. Dude, some of these games, I'm reading this, The Verge, ones that we haven't even really met, Cricket Through the Ages.
What?
Explore the history of humanity through the lens of cricket.
Ooh, that's cool.
That sounds tight. Yeah. All right.
Card of Darkness. Like a game of solitaire mixed up with a dungeon crawling RPG. Grindstone, made Sword and Sorcery, and Below.
The new Chappie game. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I got a press release for that. So it looks like cartoony, kind of like their older works, like pre-Below, I guess.
Yeah.
But it looks cute. It looks kind of like a Match 3 thing, but I didn't read the press release. I saw the images. And I was like, oh, this looks cute. I'll probably download this because I can with Apple Arcade.
Oh, this is the new Mini Metro sequel? Mini Motorways?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was a big thing. Yeah, Mini Motorways.
Oh, also there's that game from Twitter, the pixel art like adventure game. It's like black and white. It's called Bleak Sword.
Mm.
That's coming out. That looks tight.
Well, I'm hyped. This is nuts.
Apple Arcade has like a really good lineup. Like that they did not do a good job advertising like at all. Because I feel like this week has all been leaks of like, oh shit, this is on Apple Arcade at launch? Like the new Shantae? Like there's like all this like weird stuff.
Fucking Shantae, dude. I played Shantae. It felt like a Flash game.
Who likes Shantae besides...
I like the art of Shantae. And I won't play it because like, it'll be on Apple Arcade.
Yeah, it's tight.
I thought the appeal is the like chibi like booby art.
Yeah.
A little bit. Sure.
The animation's really nice in those games. Like there's just like really good 2D animation.
I'm on NoFap, so it's not, I'm definitely not into that.
You're on NoFap for Shantae?
Yeah, that was my most difficult challenge was playing Shantae on NoFap.
Understand.
Achievement unlocked.
Should we wrap this up?
Let's wrap. This is a,
let's wrap.
Let's just wrap it up.
This is a rambling ass app.
Browsing games.
So sorry, listeners.
Good app. We are Bad End Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Come join us. Come if you ever feel like, hey, it would be kind of fun to chill with the host of Bad End in some sort of an online environment chat type thing. We got a Discord. It's great. We got a lot of friends in there. A lot of great people. You can You can gain access to that Discord by subscribing to our Patreon. It is patreon.com/badend. You can also email us if you want to provide any input, feedback, questions for us to answer on the show. We are on Gmail at, geez, I'm doing a really bad job with this.
Bad End Podcast.
Yeah. On Gmail, we are badendpod@gmail.com. And then on Twitter, we are Bad End Podcast. So you can
I think you have it backwards.
On there. What's up?
Is that right? I thought it was backwards. No, you're right.
No.
Sorry.
It's Bad End Podcast is on Twitter. And then Bad End Pod is our Gmail. Kind of confusing, but the Bad End Podcast was not available on Gmail, so we did Bad End Pod. So
if you own it and you listen to this podcast, we'd love to have that.
Yeah. Anyway, folks, thanks so much for listening again, and we'll see you in a couple weeks. Later.
See ya.